Hello and welcome to the 2023 Only Lovers Awards. We are three Latinx besties reading romance, and this is, I mean, we call it an award show. We don't really have an awards to give. We're just kind of like looking back at our reading year together as a book club and going back and seeing what were our favorites, what were not our favorites, and what we're hoping for in the new year. So I'm Chris. I'm wearing this like shirt with like a bunch of faces on it. My mom got it for me for Christmas. And I would have worn this on New Year's, but my New Year's plans got canceled. So I wore pajamas all night instead. And I put like this like really cool, like romantic. Well, it's not really romantic. It's romantic to me, but I think it's really cool. It's like lots of flowers and vegetation and just like a perfect yellow seat. For reading. I don't know. I think this is like a perfect little reading nook if you're into flowers and foliage and cottagecore.
I am too shy. I am not wearing anything fun, but I decided to put some makeup on to play around with this like new makeup palette that I got recently. So I've got like a little pinks and some reds and like some glitter in there, which kind of goes with the color theme of the presentation, which is funny because I did not know what the presentation was going to look like.
I'm just wearing an old blood donation shirt and that's it. No background.
So the way that this works is that we will compile all of the books that we read. So I make like a Google form with all of the categories, which we'll go over very shortly. And we vote. And if there was ever one where there was no consensus on, then I gave Amanda the three options and she was the one who kind of like cast the winning vote. Without any further ado, let us begin. So this was our 2023 reading year. We read 12 books together. We Deserve Monuments, On the Hustle, Howl's Moving Castle, The Heartbreak Bakery, When the Tiger Came Down the Mountain, Reggie and Delilah's Ear Falling, Just as You Are, I'm Not Supposed to Be in the Dark, Best Women's Erotica Volume 8, Back in a Spell, That Could Be Enough, and Exodus 23. But we also had some bonus episodes. And I think there's four bonus episodes, which I'm really proud of. One of them is An Island Princess Starts a Scandal. Andrea and I discussed like the next installment in Adriana Herrera's books. Together as a book club, we read A Caribbean Heiress in Paris. And so we read this one. Just kind of like a little follow-up. We also, very dramatically, watched Netflix's The Queer Ultimatum, Queer Love, and it was definitely a moment in my life. I know it was in Andrea's life, but it was a good time. It was a good time. I feel like we watched The Ultimatum, Queer Love, and then we talked about An Island Princess Starts a Scandal, I think, to come down from the drama of that show. And yeah, all of those are saved in a playlist with all of our bonus episodes. So if you're interested in watching like a shorter version of just like a quick little discussion, then go there. Okay, so one of the questions that I asked was, do you have any resolutions? And this is what we wrote. Andrea, I'll have you go first if you want to read it and kind of explain what you got there.
Yeah, so for the past year and a half, I have been writing full time, and that ends in 5 days. So my resolution is figuring out how to balance that transition of two jobs at once again, because writing, and not just writing, but all the stuff that comes with having published books, is kind of a full-time job in and of itself. So yeah, just balancing having the two jobs with being able to read for fun. I know I'm not going to be able to read as much as I have the past couple of years, so I just want to be kind with myself with whatever I do manage to read, and trying to make time for that, for fun reading. Well, I'm journaling now too, so my journal gets a lot of my vents.
Okay, fair. Well, thank you so much, journal. Does your journal have a name? Did you know that my journal in high school was called Tashai? I used to write to Tashai.
I did not know that. That's adorable.
Like, hey, Tashad, because we didn't go to the same school, and so I would like write to her about my day, and
That's really
yeah.
cute.
Once we were
No,
separated.
my journal does not have a name, but yeah, maybe I should name it. It might
Maybe you
help.
should. Maybe you should. Well, I'm glad you're journaling. And I mean, this year is going to look different, but I'm excited nonetheless for all of the projects. Very excited. Okay, Tasha, you're up next.
I just wanted to try to actually make a larger effort this year to read the books that I already own. Because I have a shit ton here that I've just like kept collecting. And like I have a lot of really good stuff. I just keep getting distracted by new books or like library holds that I'd put. So I don't really have many holds now at all. And I really am just trying to like get through stuff and like actually get through like the self-help books that I've bought. Because I, started and never finished Come As You Are. I started and never finished Burnout. And I have a book on grief. Like I've got all this stuff that I bought to try to like help me improve. I just haven't read any of it. I feel like procrastination. I at one point with my therapist, I was like, I feel like I procrastinate because I'm scared of having to like confront things that I know or things I need to work on. So it's like if I just don't read the book yet, then I don't have to like deal with the stuff. So I'm trying to just deal with the stuff in 2024 and just like read my books and also get a hobby. That's not on there, but I'm trying to develop a hobby of some sort. So that I am not always on my phone.
Let's see. Mine says, read more of the books that I have at home. This is also one of my resolutions. I get a ton of books, and I like getting books from the library, and I like buying books. And so I'm not saying I'm going to stop doing those other things. I just want to balance it out by reading the books that I have at home. So a lot of the picks that I have are things that I just have. Our first read for 2024, this is a book I had at home. So I'm trying to do that, but we'll see. I want to continue to be inclusive with my book picks. I want to make sure that, I don't know, I'm reading across all spectrums, all throughout all intersections to the best of my ability. And I want to prioritize my mental health and still have fun. I really enjoy book club. And yeah, I want to keep doing it for as long as I can. So that means that I have to take care of myself and have fun, make sure that I'm keeping a balance with all things. Thank you everybody for sharing your resolutions, and I hope we're able to get there. I hope we're able to make it. Okay, so these are our categories. These are the awards we're going to be giving out. We've got one for most chemistry between the two plus protagonists. I say plus. I don't think we had like a trio kind of book this year, like a polyamorous romance this year. Anyway, but amongst the love interests, then we had pluckiest protagonist, loveliest love interest, hottest sex scene, and cringiest sex scene. Now, there's a little asterisk there because we read a full book of erotica, and so we're going to be checking out what was the best and the worst from that selection alone, because it kind of like just stands on its own. And then everything else is from any of the books that had sexy scenes in them. We also have super side character, best representation, our biggest disappointment, our best and favorite hangout, and the best book we read overall. And at the end, we'll wrap it up with characters that we want to shout out that we loved and or hated, just like one last time to dunk on them before the end of the year. The kiss slash fuck, marry, kill gauntlet, where we like, again, for the last time, get to express our extreme love or hatred of specifically love interests. And then our final thoughts, and yeah, we'll wrap it up.
I was just thinking, I don't even remember. I was like, who did I want to fuck, marry, and kill? I'll be surprised too.
Yes. Well, we'll find
Oh,
out. Now we are ready to begin the 2023 Only Lovers Awards. By the way, I chose this template because it was called Best Friend, and it was like a presentation about your best friend. And I thought it was so sweet. I had to choose it. So, right. We will be starting with the category for most chemistry. What it's going to look like is we're going to see the biggest one is going to be the winner, and then the other one's going to be like, what, the loser. Sorry, I don't want to say the loser. Hang on.
the
The runner
runner-ups.
up. Yes, thank you. Thank you. So yes, we'll have the winner, and then we'll have the runner up, and then we'll talk about it. So the winner for most chemistry for all the books we read is Hey, Mercy and Andromeda for That Could Be Enough. And then with the runner-up of Diego and the angel Ariel, Ariel, as Andrea said throughout the other hangout, from Exodus 23.
I think it's interesting that our top ones are both novellas. And
Fine, too.
also our last two books. Maybe they were freshest in our
They
heads.
were really good though. I'm not mad about it. So I think you and I voted for That Could Be Enough, Andrea, and then Tosh voted for Diego and Ariel. Don't worry, this is not going to be the last time we see them. But okay, to be fair, there are a lot of other categories, and there are other stories that are repeated more than these. Next category. Pluckiest protagonist. This is the protagonist that was the pluckiest, the most intrepid, the most fantastic, the most amazing. The winner for pluckiest protagonist from all of our reads this year is Delilah from Reggie and Delilah's Year of Falling, with the runner-up of Sophie from Howl's Moving Castle. Yay!
I'm gonna go ahead and guess that I voted for Reggie and Delilah.
I also voted for Reggie and Delilah.
Yes,
Yeah.
I lost this one. All right, that's it for pluckiest protagonist. On to the next category. Now we have our loveliest love interest. This was one of the categories that, surprisingly, every year there's no consensus. We always pick disparate options. So I sent it to Amanda and I said, look, which one is of these three is the loveliest love interest this year? And she cast the winning vote. It was Ariel, I think, from Exodus 23. He crossed earthly and heavenly planes and fell deeply in love with a hot trans guy. That's incredibly lovely. That little strawberry Sprite is supposed to be my sister.
What were the other two options?
It was between Morty from Back in a Spell and Reggie from Reggie and Delilah's, which all were great. They were all great options. I think I voted for Ariel because, I mean, it was the one monster romance. And I think that it made an impression on my sister as well. Again, I sent her the names without her knowing who voted for what. So yeah, that's why this one won. But
I think I voted for Morty.
I
I
like that
voted for
you voted for
Reggie.
Morty because it was, I mean, they're both really deserving. Morty
Yeah.
deserved better.
I think that's what I was thinking, was like, you know what? He was too good for this whole book.
All right, next category is the sexiest scene. Talia Hibbert coined the term trope work, as far as I'm concerned. And so this is the scene that had the best trope work. It's the one that got under our skin, that made us like kick our feet and blush. And here it is. What have you voted for? Oh, pray with me. So in Exodus 23, there is a scene where Ariel says, hey, do you know what? Do you want to pray with me? And Diego's like, sure. And so they go to pray. And there's like this really intense, like praying slash fondling scene that happens. And apparently, this was the sexiest scene. And the runner up is the pleasure feedback loop scene where Morty and Nina kind of like discover the perks of being witchbound and they have hot, hot sex at Morty's bar, which Nina's family is trying to buy. Next category is the cringiest scene. Now, this is the exact opposite of the sexiest scene. This is like the scene where we're like, no thanks. No more of this. Thank you. I'm just going to skim. I'm just going to go ahead. And the winner is the scene in Just As You Are when Darcy and what's her face have sex in Darcy's aunt's kitchen. And I think the cringiest part of that was the aftermath. Like, I think the scene was hot. But then immediately afterwards, what happens, which is that she's like, oh, this is a horrible mistake. Get out of here. I
Yeah,
think
I
it
feel
was.
like we chose it to be cringiest for different reasons. For me, it was the fact that like her aunt was literally like next to them in the room next door. But yes, we concur that it was cringe for different reasons.
Cringe for different reasons, but cringe nonetheless. However, Tashai, as I remember this movie, I know Tashai voted for the praying scene. And if you go watch our hangout on Exodus 23, you will understand why. In the first few minutes, we talk about how that's just not her jam. However, had it been a priest, it might have been a different story.
Different story, yeah.
Now we're moving along to the sexiest scene in Best Women's Erotica, Volume 8. So many to choose from, and this one was unanimous. This was the hottest scene in that book. The Devil Take You, Sex in the Theater. It's the opener. Is it the opener of the, if the, it's the opener, and it is the hottest one. There's some good ones, but none of them come as close to this one, both in trope work and in the theme of play. I think that, were they watching a play? And they were also playing like they didn't care. I still think about that. Okay, now back to the complete opposite. Cringiest sex scene in Best Women's Erotica Volume 8. There were quite a few of these, but we decided on a winner and a runner up. And the winner is that creepy robot story that me and Tashai fucking hated and that I don't know if Andrea had read.
No, because I heard enough to know that I did not want to read it, and I felt like I could honestly vote for it as the cringiest despite not having read it, based solely on your testimony.
Oh, amazing.
I didn't vote for it because I couldn't make myself read it. So I voted for the statue because I read it and experienced the cringe. The robot one, I was just so grossed out by the concept of it that I couldn't even read it. So I was like, it might not be as cringy. Who knows? Who can say? It just is, it's like absent. It's absent from my consciousness. But the statue one, I know I definitely read and was like, kids play in this park.
Kids play in this park. Oh my God. Okay. All right. So a lot of these books obviously have the love interests if they're like a straight up romance. But sometimes the side characters, they're great. Sometimes the side characters, I mean, they do end up having their own story, but sometimes they don't, and it leaves us wishing with us wanting more. Here is who we voted as the super side character for this year, and that was Mama Letty from We Deserve Monuments, and with the runner-up of the Tiger Ladies from When Tiger Came Down the Mountain. I think that was me. I think I voted for the Tiger Ladies. I thought they were super cool, and I really wanted a book about them as Tiger Ladies. I mean, I know that they were talking about the stories that they knew, but I wanted the book about the Tiger Ladies only. So.
They were like, they had girl gang energy. So I can see how you would really enjoy it.
So not every book has to have a lesson. We're not reading like, you know, to for the moral of the story. However, there are some books that do a really good job. The authors do a really good job of representing a demographic, be that ethnicity, a culture, a sexuality, identity. And so from all of the books that we read, since we were trying to pick really diversely, just trying to pick the one that we felt really captured that essence of like, you know, this is kind of like the best, the author did the best job at whatever representation there was. And so there were many, we read so many books. And so this is the one that we thought did the best job. Reggie and Delilah's Year of Falling, and the representation was having a disability or an invisible illness, like migraines, and then blurreds, and being biracial as well, I think. And then the runner-up was the book We Deserve Monuments by Jazz Hammonds, a favorite here on the pod, on the book club, and on the Instagram, for the depiction of racism, queerness, and Southern Blackness specifically. All right. It had to happen. There were books that I was really, really excited about. And most of the books, with the exception maybe of like whenever I do a reread, when I want to reread like a favorite, I know what to expect. And I know I'm going to love it. But the books are all a mystery. And some of them, they kind of disappoint. When you start reading them, you kind of disappoint. So this is the one, or these are the ones, that disappointed us the most. Just As You Are. Womp, womp, womp. It promised a fun Pride and Prejudice messy lesbian drama in New York City. And it did exactly that. And it was not fun. It was not fun at all.
Yeah, I definitely got hype based on the cover art and did not do the job.
I feel like I was the one who voted for On the Hustle. I did not enjoy it. I did not enjoy the sex in it. I did not enjoy the romance. I will talk about it in the Fuck, Marry, Kill. So that was my biggest disappointment, was On the Hustle. I could not believe it. After reading, I read a couple of her other stories. We have bonus episodes on one of the Christmas ones, but this was not it. So I think my sister had to break the tie for this one because we all had a different hangout that we really liked. To Shy, you voted for When Tiger Came Down the Mountain.
I voted purely based on looks.
My favorite hangout was Reggie and Delilah's Year of Falling. I just really enjoyed how much sharing we did in that one. Andrea's favorite hangout was I'm Not Supposed to Be in the Dark. The way that I described it to my sister, this is how I reminded my sister of it. She's watched all of our episodes. So this is how I reminded her of them. I said, okay, this is the one where we talked about our hobbies and how we wish we had more hobbies / our childhoods. This is the one where Tashai discusses the age of consent when it comes to ghost sex. And this is the one where deep tiger voices, folklore, and Andrea's fantastic tiger makeup, you know? And so she chose Reggie and Delilah's Year of Fallen. She says, it was a great discussion / reflection about being biracial and nerdy, and also dyslexia rep from a former teacher. It was cool. Listening to you guys talk about your childhood and hobbies made me nostalgic. Aw, same. That's the one I picked. You were connected. And so that's the best hangout. We all had our favorites, but that one is considered by a tiebreak to be the favorite. All right. And then the best book overall. So whether it was a romance or less of a romance and more of like right literary fiction, which book did we think was the best book overall, baby? We Deserve Monuments by Jazz Hammond. This one was, I think, unanimous. We all voted for this one. And I mean, this one's the first book we read of the year. So it wasn't just the novellas at the end of the year. They just happened to have like the most heat. But I think We Deserve Monuments had some really stunning characters and story and representation. And I think it was the full package. What do you guys think?
Yeah, no, I agree. And I have the arc for their next book on my bookshelf. It's called Thirsty, but it's like literally thirsty. Like,
I remember the pool.
Okay. So I'm really excited to read that one at some point in the next few months. But yes, We Deserve Monuments. Chef's kiss.
This book fucked me up. It was really good, but it was definitely one of those like, oh yay, beautiful cover. Let's like read it and have a good time. And then it was like, oh my God, Jesus. And then right at the end, it's like, huh.
I know.
I remember reading this and just giving Shaka updates like, wait, because I remember starting reading and I was like, is this a murder mystery? Wait, is this a thriller? Is this a like? And so I kept just telling him what was going on and. It was just bonkers. I didn't know what we were getting into when we started reading it. Yeah, it's probably not as romance heavy as some of our other picks, but I also really like the romance in this book, both between the kids and also like just like the sad romance between the mom and the neighbor. Like, yeah.
I would love to see this as like one of those limited series where they do like 6 or 8 like really well done hour-long episodes. Like I think this would be such a good like HBO some or other where like maybe every other episode is like happens in the past and you're getting like stuff from today and then stuff from the past and it's like a parallel timeline structure or something, because it's like
It's a really good story.
So this is our, like, we wanted to talk about our favorite characters and, you know, give a shout out that maybe necessarily didn't fit into the categories that we have. And so we wanted to talk about them, and here they are. Oh, Calcifer, it was one of our favorites from Howl's Moving Castle, but also Harley from the Heartbreak Bakery. I think this one was me, and I really loved that book, and I really love that character.
I think Calcifer's cute, little cutie.
I mean, Calcifer's so iconic. Who doesn't want to either have like a demon in their house who's very helpful in the kitchen and like powers everything? And or, I mean, I want to be the demon. So I understand. I understand the appeal. So those are our most beloved characters. Now let's talk about I was being charitable by writing disliked here. but these are the characters that we hate and would rather not have experienced on camera. We all voted for something different, but I think that they're all valid. So for Just As You Are, everyone sucked. Everyone in this book fucking sucked. the racists in We Deserve Monuments also sucked. Fuck you. And Theo from On the Hustle specifically, fuck you too.
It continues to make me laugh so much because at least once a week I see someone on Bookstagram like pledging their undying love to this man, and every single time I'm like reminded of how fervently you hate him. And I'm like, what are they seeing? Like,
it's just... All right, we have made it to the kiss / fuck, marry, kill gauntlet. Some of us don't want to be fucking anybody. Some of us just want to kiss. So that's what that's about. So let's go again in order from top to bottom. Andrea, who is in your fuck, marry, kill or kiss, marry, kill gauntlet?
Yeah, I would have hooked up with the angel. I think we had talked about it during the episode. So yeah, definitely would have liked to have that experience. I would definitely have married the tiger lady from the book. We also discussed this during the episode. and then I would have killed Nina because, well, okay, one, she was really annoying, but also I contemplated killing someone from Just As You Are. But I was trying to think about it in terms of like the book setting. And Just As You Are, I would absolutely go to jail. But in the Nina book, I could absolutely get away with it if I killed her right after everyone found out what she did and just like drowned her in the lake or something. So that just seemed like the best one to go for in terms of practicality.
I have no problem. I have no issue with anything you just
and
said.
And Cole Morty. And, you know, maybe it's a universe where the tiger lady, Morty, and I are all a thing.
Amazing. All right, Tashai, why don't you give us your kiss, marry, kill gauntlet?
I'm kissing Simone. That's the from We Deserve Monuments, right? The love interest. Okay. But when she's like in her late 20s, there's like parameters to these. I would marry Theo for his money, but then I would leave him. And I would probably marry adult Reggie again because, you know, he seems like he'll grow to be like a nice, well-rounded, emotionally mature dude who like makes it big in the podcast nerd community. So I'm like, I'll fund your lifestyle with my Theo divorce money. And then I would kill Ghost Derek because he's already dead. So I'll exercise. Get out of here. Get out. Get rid of him. Go away.
I like how all of your, once again, all of your like choices have like little caveats and so it's really entertaining.
There's always loopholes. There's always like fine print with all of my decisions, except Simone. Like I kiss Simone because she's a little cutie. She seems like a nice girl. She seems like she'd be fun to hang out with if we were like in the same age range, so that it's like not creepy. I don't know that I wanted to marry anybody exactly as they were, but I was like, oh, Theo's got money. I can put up with it. I can put up with it for a check.
He'd be too focused on your ass to sign a prenup. And
that's
then...
what it is. Yeah, my ass is so fat that he would just be distracted. I would be like, ooh, wearing little poom poom pants, and would just be like laundering his money. I would just be pilfering, just ooh, signing away his rights to all his like intellectual properties. All.
And then you could have a baby with Theo, so your kid would be set financially for life, yeah. But then raise the kid with Reggie.
Yeah,
Reggie
exactly. Seems like, oh, have a baby by me, baby, be a billionaire. Have a baby by me, baby, be a millionaire. Yeah, that'd be me. I'm like, okay, yeah, here's, whoops, pregnant. I would do, who did that? Wait, there's some celebrity who did that. They were like, they married a billionaire and they had Janet Jackson married a billionaire and they were married for like exactly 5 years and she had a kid and at the exact 5 year mark they separated and the prenup, like, basically she got like $50 million or something. I'm trying to remember what the payout was, but she got like a huge, huge payout and she like literally it was, you have to be married for 5 years. And like literally maybe a month after the 5 year mark, it was like divorce. She had the kid. The kid came, basically the kid, there was like a kid bonus. Like if you had a kid, then you got an extra like something million dollars. So she was like,
every award show has someone that like they honor for some reason, like a lifetime achievement award. I think that we have found, the Only Lovers 2023 lifetime achievement award goes to Janet Jackson. For playing 4D chess with her life. Yeah. Okay. Let me do my kiss and fuck, marry, kill. I would love to kiss and fuck, hopefully at the same time, the monster angel Ariel. I would marry Sophie because there is no one else in this book list that has a better wife material. I love Sophie. I loved her then. And I love her now, and I would marry her in a heartbeat. And I would kill Nina because she sucks, and she's selfish, witchy ass, stupid ass bitch. And she should die.
This is even better. Now we can kill her together.
Yeah, and like you hold and I'll punch.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll pay for your attorneys with my marriage money.
Yes.
Which, by the way, I did a quick Google because I was like, I know that it was a lot of money. It was $100 million if they were married for 5 years, and another $100 million if they had a kid together.
Okay. So we have reached the end. Now that we've given away our lifetime achievement award, we have reached the end. It's time to give some final thoughts. Drea didn't include any in the form, but if you have any now.
Well, I didn't know that we're going to go in the presentation, or I would have included it. You made it seem like it was like an optional, like, is there anything else you would like to add?
Okay. Well, you can add it now if you want. Ooh, I'm sorry. Nope. I was like, oh, she's just tired. Fuck it. It's fine.
No, I just didn't know it was part of the presentation, or I would have absolutely written something.
All right. So let's read them, and then you can, if you have any off the top of your head, then please let us know. Tashat, what are your final thoughts?
Yeah, I'm excited for, I already am like pretty excited about the books that I saw we've picked for this year. So I'm just looking forward to like reading more and like getting through my book pile. And then hopefully actually getting back to doing like little makeup looks for the calls. Cause I think last year it was just like, it was just hectic. It was fucking bummer city. I don't know.
You were also getting married. A big chunk of your brain time was like planning a beautiful wedding in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
I am also really excited about our list. I can't believe like our list is like done. So I'm really excited. We also have like a romance reading challenge, which is fun. So that means we're kind of locked into our picks as well. Cause I based the romance reading challenge on the picks that we had. However, there are some free spots and some bonus ones. So like, I don't know, go check it out. I'll flash it on the screen and I'll link it in our description. So for my final thoughts, I can't believe that we're headed towards year 9 together. And our 100th episode. So I don't know what episode. This doesn't count as an episode, technically. We have already recorded 100 something things together. But we will be celebrating our 100th episode together this year. And I'm just so happy Only Lovers exists. And I'm so happy to know both of you, especially this crazy, crazy ass year. I don't know what I would have done without you. So I'm just happy we're still here. I'm happy we're still doing it. And I'm excited for all the things that this year might bring. And like both book club and friendship and love and all those things.
Yeah, I guess I'll just kind of echo what you've all said. I'm really excited for our book picks, and I'm especially excited for our 100th episode, because I think, right, the plan is to do it live. And if you have been listening to us for 9 years, then you might remember back in the day when we had live episodes. And so it feels very nostalgic. And it's also going to be a thruple book. And we've only read a handful of those in Only Lovers, but I feel like they've all been very memorable, either because we hated them or because we love them. but we still haven't found the perfect one. Like, I feel like they all had things that we wished were different. And so I'm hopeful that in this 100th episode, maybe we will find the perfect thruple book for us. And if not, then the search continues, even if it takes, you know, 9 more years. We shall see.
We shall see indeed. That concludes our 2023 Only Lovers Awards, a look back at a year that was certainly a year. And in 2024, we will have more books, more romance, more laughs. Thank you so much, guys, for being here. And yeah, we'll see you in the next one. Bye. Thank you for making it to the end of our episode and spending some of your sweet, precious time with us. You can support Only Lovers Book Club for free by subscribing to our shows and sharing our episodes. Make sure you like the video if you're on YouTube, or leave us a review if you're listening to the podcast. You can become a supporter on Ko-fi or buy some books from our bookshop. All the books that we talked about, with like some exceptions, you can find them in bookshop.org. All of those links are in the description box. You can follow us on Instagram at Only Lovers Book Club.